Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Wednesday, December the 8th, 2021, 21 minutes past the hour. You know what's funny? We have a lot of hosts here at the station, and a lot of them like to, during the holiday season, what do I want to say? Kvetch? Complain? Kvetch is a nice Yiddish word for complain about how long the top of the hour goes, because we play one Christmas song during the holiday season. But during the holiday season, I really do try to shorten up the news reports a little bit. And it's interesting, though, at 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, and at noon, we don't play a Christmas song because we have the obituary report. So during the 8 o'clock hour, when I come on in the morning, we don't even have a Christmas song. It's the same top of the hour as it is every year, every day, throughout the year. And yet, I still didn't get on until 21 minutes past the hour this morning because of the obituary report. So it's interesting to me that some people complain about the Christmas songs, but there was no Christmas song at 8 o'clock this morning, and yet we didn't get on till 21 minutes past the hour. But I must tell you, I don't complain about getting on at 21 minutes past the hour because it is the holiday season, and people are busy this time of year. Here we are, middle of the week, Wednesday, time just moving by. I really have to say, this does not feel like Christmas at all. Now, maybe the Christmas spirit will come in the next, how many days do we have left? 17 days till Christmas at this point? Or, I don't know. I don't know if it'll come or not. It seems like a lot of people are complaining. Like, I came in this morning, and there were three notes on the desk. And of all the ways to communicate in the world now, we have messengers, we have text messages, we have phone calls people can make, we have stopping at people's houses, we have all these things, and the way people choose to communicate is through note. That's like carrier pigeon. So I had all these notes on the desk this morning. But you know what? That's not going to deter me here in the holiday season, because I look in the studio and it's bright and it's shining and everything is in a positive manner. I'm going to talk to Glenn Coble about this when he gets in here at 10 o'clock this morning, about the Christmas spirit. Is it there this year? What is going on? Now, I do want to say, in the Christmas spirit, there is a house on the boulevard that is so beautifully decorated. I see it every morning. That's the only plus about driving to work in the morning in the dark, is this house on the boulevard that is beautifully lit up. Now, there are a lot of houses on the boulevard that have beautiful Christmas decorations, but this one has columns in front, and it's got the green, I don't know what they call it, the green, it looks like tree, but it's not Christmas tree. But so they've got the green stuff wrapped around the columns, and they've got colored lights, and it's just a beautifully decorated house. It's on the first part of the boulevard. If you're coming south, in the southbound lane, it's probably within the first mile on your left. Take a look at this house. It really is something. Has anybody else seen this house? 740-383-9944. Or does anybody feel like it's the holidays? Is anybody in the holiday spirit this year? It's just a little, I don't know, mucky this year. It's very different than it has been in past years. But we will soldier through. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Got a lot of housekeeping here to do this morning, and maybe I should get on it since we didn't get on until 21 minutes past the hour this morning. want to update the old Geraldo Journal, which again, thank goodness, this is a quick thing to do this time of year because we don't have as much time as we normally have. Let's see, did we do this yesterday? We did, on the 7th. So let's update it for the 8th. I tell you, we're running out of pages in the Geraldo Journal after doing this for, what will it be, almost 3 months coming up here in just a few days? The 8th of December, 2021, did not hear from Geraldo. But the other day, I did say I had an idea. Now, here's the idea in the Christmas season. We need to send Geraldo a Christmas card, and we also need to send him a poinsettia. And I think that might lure him into coming on the show. So the idea I'm going to lay out here is shared with listeners, who I really think of as friends. I don't really think of you guys as listeners. More friends every morning. We get together and we talk for 2 hours. Shared with listeners the idea of sending Geraldo a Christmas card and poinsettia. Okay, now how we're going to get that done, I don't really know. If anybody's got any ideas, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. I guess we could send them to the station, WTAM up there, and I'm sure they would forward them on to Geraldo. But that's our new problem. That's what we're going to work on together here in the holiday season. And we've got the rest of this week, we've got all next week, and pretty much the following week, because Christmas Eve comes on a Friday. So we've still got 13 days on the air until this all happens. So we probably need to get this poinsettia and Christmas card out early next week, but we'll get it done. So if anybody has any ideas on that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Other than that, we'll slide the Geraldo Journal to the side. Now, I do want to remind everybody that we have two big Christmas specials coming up on the station tomorrow night, Thursday night. At 8:10 p.m., we have got the Ted Williams, George Kasotis Christmas special, in which Ted, George, and I got together and just kind of talked about Christmas memories, years past here in Marion, and what Ted faced in the past, and there was singing and fun and jokes, so you don't want to miss that. Ted Williams and George Kasotis tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and then as I was letting everybody know on Monday, I spent Saturday in Caledonia for their big Christmas in Caledonia celebration, and Christmas in Caledonia will air Thursday night at 9:10 p.m. You know, this is the River Valley Band, this is the River Valley Choir, this is Ted Williams, this is Santa Claus, this is Mike McGinnis, the 600-pound life guy. You know, a lot of interviews, Angie Evers was there, Nate Redman was there, everybody appears on audio at some point. So Christmas in Caledonia will air on this station, and I read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Thursday night at 9:10 p.m. So don't miss that. Now, another part of our housekeeping here this morning, Christmas cards. We did not get to these yesterday, and we have some new Christmas cards in here. And I do want to implore everybody again, if you would like to send us a Christmas card, WWGH Radio, 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion. Now make sure you put your return address on the envelope or in the card, and we will get you a card back. We will also read your card on the air. And we got some great cards earlier this week. The first card is a very nice card. On the front it says, Oh Holy Night, and it's got the baby Jesus and the manger scene. And on the inside it says, A child is born to us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Hope the greatest story ever told warms your heart this Christmas and always. Merry Christmas to the WWGH family. Many thanks for allowing me to join the family. It has been a great year. May you all have a blessed Christmas. And that's from Pastor Craig. So we thank Pastor Craig for sending that card in, and we're glad to have Pastor Craig as a part of the WWGH family. Always have a lot of fun with him. And then we got these two Christmas cards, which are, they are so neat and so cool, and what a great idea. Now I want to get to who they are from here. They're postcards. Happy New Year, Bob and Becky Turner, I believe is the name here. Bob and Becky Turner. But what Bob and Becky Turner did on both of these cards is they have put Captain Edward Masterson, who served on the Marion, Ohio Police Department from 1883 until his death on July 3rd, 1922. He died as a result of injuries sustained from a fall from a running board of an automobile while performing in a parade for President Harding. Now, has anybody ever heard that? I've never heard that story. Now, one of these postcards is a picture of Captain Edward Masterson. And the other one is Officer Jerome Hostetter of the Marion Police Department at Union Station Depot in Marion. And these are great ideas for postcards and Christmas cards and so on and so forth. But, oh, now here's the other one. So we learn about Officer James Hostetter. On August 18th, 1910, Officer Hostetter was shot. Let's see. You know, they've put the postmark kind of over top of this. Was shot yards off of Kenton Avenue while investigating a robbery that occurred on Silver Street. He died from his injuries on August 19th, 1910. Very interesting. Now, I wonder if these gentlemen have any connection to Bob and Becky Turner, because these are not exactly names that we learn about in school, but what interesting people they must have been, and what an interesting idea to use Christmas cards as a way to share these people's lives, because they have the pictures of these gentlemen on the front of the card, and then on the back of the card, it's printed in two lines exactly who they were. And it does say Happy New Year on these cards as well, and Merry Christmas in big red pen, which I appreciate. Thank you, Bob and Becky Turner. But what a neat idea this is, and it really gives me an idea for doing Christmas cards in the future. But I had never heard the story of Captain Edward Masterson, that he sustained a fall from a running board of an automobile while preparing for a parade for President Harding. I had never heard that, and died from that in 1922. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, fair to medium, staying warm and toasty. Did you get any snow over there? We have a dusting of snow here.
Not really. I mean, if it did, no, you really can't see it.
Hadn't hogged your show in a while, so I thought it was time to bring out the bacon. Your interview with Ron, well, whatever you call him, I call him Ron, yesterday was excellent. It's such a change from when he's on with Glenn and when he was on with me, because you really challenge him. It was, and he always has a comeback, which is good. It's just good to kind of play devil's advocate sometimes and just wonder why he gives certain answers. But his knowledge is so good. He always has something, as I told him. Were you a little surprised that he only gave President Joe Biden a B-? I was expecting closer to an A- from his rating. Did that kind of shock you when you heard it? That's kind of a low rating for considering on social media how he praises the administration. A B- is nothing to be overly proud of.
No, I mean, it really didn't surprise me because obviously there have been some missteps. The problem right now is that nobody is critical of their own party. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's why we've got the situation we've got. I think if more people said, you know what? Yeah, I like the president, or if they liked President Trump, or if they like President Obama, whatever the political party is, if they just said, yeah, you know what? I like the guy, I voted for the guy, but I don't like everything they do. You know, but nobody can do that anymore. Now you have to say, if I voted for him, everything's right. I totally agree. They were great. Well, who do you like 100%? Nobody. So I have to give Dr. Feinman a pat on the back for saying, yes, I voted for Joe Biden. Yes, I support Joe Biden. But is he doing perfect? No. But the problem is, I just want to get to, but the problem is with that, when you do that, when you vote for somebody and then point out some of their picadillos, the other side jumps on you and says, well, I told you he wasn't very good. And I think that's why people don't do that very often.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate his candor in saying, well, he's not perfect. There's been issues. Afghanistan, the border, I mean, from my end, the border is a complete disaster. They have no idea what they're doing.
Are you surprised to learn, though, that Joe Biden now has imposed stricter restrictions? I don't.
I think he's realized that that's what needs to be done, because you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And the proposing almost $500,000 to people that have broken into the country because.
Well, I don't want to talk about
that is really caused problems.
I don't want to talk about illegal immigration because that's kind of a downer subject. It's very interesting because I don't. I'm not even sure why that's a huge issue here in this country. Clearly, we have jobs that we can't fill right now. Clearly cannot fill. And also, by the way, I just read an article in the Dispatch the other day, and I was going to bring this up, but it was a full show yesterday. You know, people keep pointing to this extra money that people got on unemployment as to why we have a problem in the job force. Does anybody realize that Governor DeWine stopped that back in July? And there's an article in the Dispatch this week, nearly 5 months later after that money was stopped, that people have not gone back to work yet. So I don't think that money was the problem.
Yeah, people, they hear one thing, and as Ron was saying, he was actually complimenting Fox News that they're more balanced. I mean, their radio news says fair and balanced. And whether or not you agree with that, that's a different matter.
But I think what he was saying was... During the day, I think if you turn on CNN or MSNBC during the day, I think their news is all pretty good.
Yeah, it's more straight news during the day, and Tucker Carlson and his colleagues, they certainly are divisive characters, and Ron made it pretty clear what he thinks about them. And the CNN people, it seems like the direction goes the appropriate way after the sun sets. But that's part of it, in that the news is likely to happen during the day. So it'll be more balanced. And then the biases may come in, and it depends what you believe in. But it seems like with the current state of the Democratic Party, people that are Democrats, I mean, I'm proudly an independent. So, you know, it kind of almost depends what day it is, which viewpoint I'm going to support. It seems like they've moved to the current direction. I mean, Hillary especially. I mean, she's fairly conservative on many things, and this isn't the Hillary we saw a few years ago. But if she were president, it just might be different. And it's divisiveness on both ends. But yeah, I appreciate that he was critical, gave constructive criticism, and also mentioned things that he liked. That we need more of that. And it's just good that you were able to challenge him a little bit. And, you know, he said you were the best interviewer he's ever heard, and there aren't too many in your league as far as I'm concerned. But wouldn't you love to see Ron on one of the Fox News shows in the evening? Wouldn't that be a fun debate between him and Tucker or one of the other evening hosts?
Well,
having him on CNN or with Rachel Maddow or someone like that.
Well, I'm all for people getting the word out. I think conversation is what we need to have, and a little less yelling is what we need to have.
Yeah, we need to realize we're on the same team, Scott. We're all Americans, and we don't have to agree. You know, I have friends of all political philosophies, and those who just kind of prefer to stay out of it. And you know, you just kind of talk and you challenge when necessary, but don't really provide your own beliefs, which is good. That's the way journalism should be, and we seem to have a little less of that. That's why I say, I mean, Cavett or Cronkite or people that just do in-depth interviewing. They seem more like you than some of the people you hear currently, but we have so much divisiveness that's kind of what we're getting. But yeah, interesting, Scott, to have Ron. When you have Ron on again, maybe this time next year, let's see how his grade of the Biden administration might change, and we should see how things might evolve.
We definitely shall see how it goes.
And so we have the granddaughter of Emily Post on next hour.
That's my understanding. Now, we don't. I do.
Yeah, you do. Well, we as the station do. But, yeah, that's something else we need. I think you would agree with this. People's manners have suffered a bit of late.
Well, it's an issue of etiquette. And I think at this time of year, I think it's fun to do things like we did yesterday with Mrs. Santa Claus. I think it's fun to have the Santa Claus, the gentleman whose actual name is Santa Claus, on. I think it's fun to learn about holiday etiquette because people do go to parties this time of year and people do have guests over. And I think etiquette is something that has been lost. I was telling somebody yesterday that I thought she had zero etiquette and that she should listen this morning because this will be a lesson in etiquette for her. Now, she got kind of offended by that, but hey, that's showbiz.
No, I think etiquette is always in season, regardless of an approaching holiday or the weather or the world situation. You can never have too much, so I think it'll be a good program, and especially someone who's been in that family, two generations younger. So I look forward to listening. So it's about all I had for you, Scott, and let the other people call in and provide their opinion.
All right. Yes. Thanks for the call.
Have a good Wednesday.
Bye-bye. Thanks. All right, there we go. And we will continue trucking along here in the category of housekeeping that we need to do here. So don't forget, tomorrow night, Thursday night, 8:10, George Kasotis and Ted Williams, big Christmas special. And then 9:10 p.m., Christmas in Caledonia. That's where we will be. Let's go back to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I live on Henry Street, and we got nice dusting out there.
Really? When I pulled out of my house this morning, like in the area at the end of the driveway where water kind of collects, that was iced over. But other than that, I really didn't see any snow.
In the last half hour, 45 minutes, it's came out.
Oh, well, it could be since I've walked in the door then.
The road's completely white.
Oh, well, that might be since I've walked in. So it just started in the last half hour?
Yeah, 45 minutes.
No, well, I've been in here that long at this point.
The hoods and the cars and windows are covered. The roofs are got a white covering on it. The grass, the sidewalks are covered white. You know, it's hard to cover the grass with that little bit, but, you know, it's trying to cover the grass.
Well, I wonder if we will see all the people run and get bread and milk today for no apparent reason.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be worried we're going to get 2 feet of snow.
Yeah, well, what is it? It's just a dusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no big deal. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No.
No? Well, I'm but the snow is falling right now.
Do we have one next hour? Emily Post?
Well, Emily Post is dead, but it's a Lizzie Post, who's her granddaughter, who has kept up the etiquette, I guess the family business, the etiquette business.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound exciting?
Was she a writer for a magazine or something?
I think magazines have kind of went by the wayside, but there is a website that she does write for, and she does give lectures, and she's written books.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, magazines are dead anymore.
Well, etiquette is interesting to me because nobody follows it anymore, and I don't know why that went out the window. People used to be very into etiquette. It was You know, you got out your best dishes when you had a party. You made sure to bring a gift if you came to a party.
Yeah, there was fancy silverware.
Well, there was a where your napkins were placed. There was a certain time to reply to a Christmas card or a graduation card or a wedding invitation. And it's all kind of been out, and you dressed a certain way for a funeral or a wedding. And it's all out the window. So it'll be interesting in the holiday time here to hear about Christmas cards and parties and presents and all that, and exactly what the etiquette is on that from Lizzie Post.
Yeah. Well, people used to dress up to go uptown shopping.
Well, that's it, and that was etiquette. But it's just not there. And writing somebody a letter. Do you remember this? If somebody did something nice for you, it wasn't just thank you. You actually sat down and wrote them a letter.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to ask Lizzie why this has gone by the wayside. And I'm also curious to find out in the computer age, what is acceptable? Because this whole Christmas card in an email or on Facebook, I think that's ridiculous. And I want to see if the etiquette in that would follow suit.
Well, yes, you can make Christmas cards on a computer.
Yeah, making them on a computer, I have no problem.
On a computer, I mean, you get so much stuff on a computer that, you know, a lot of times you don't want to click on stuff.
Well, if you make it on the computer, as long as you print it out or have them made and send them to me, I'm fine with that. But just emailing me a Christmas card, I mean, I can't keep that. I mean, there's no...
You can't hang it on the wall.
No, I can't hang it on the wall. I don't even know what the point of that is. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Email you a Christmas card back?
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort, doesn't it?
I think it takes less effort, and I think that's
the
problem.
Yeah, it takes less effort to do that.
Yeah, and I don't understand that, why people think that's okay. I just think our society is becoming a little bit too lazy.
Well, that's a sign of the times, it's a new age.
We'll see what Lizzie posts, because she's not an older lady, so we'll see what she has to say about all this.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, yeah, Lizzie Post coming up next hour. Holiday etiquette. Now, what other show in North America is doing holiday etiquette? This is a real magazine show. Okay, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah. Yesterday we did the Pearl Harbor show. Yesterday was the 80th anniversary commemoration of Pearl Harbor. And there are some people who they're still alive and remember Pearl Harbor. Pat Koch yesterday was one of them, who's 90 years old. I guess you probably have to be over 85 at this point to remember Pearl Harbor. But I know a lot of our listeners are of that age. Does anybody remember Pearl Harbor who's out there listening? I'd love to hear what people's remembrances of this are. 740-383-9944. And I guess if you were above 98, Pearl Harbor might have sent you off to war. If you are under 98, probably wouldn't have. But you certainly might have the memory of hearing about it on the radio or in the newspaper or so on and so forth. So does anybody out there remember Pearl Harbor? 80 years ago, yesterday, this week, would love to hear that remembrances. Those are remembrances we've got to get down, because they're going to drift away. 740-383-9944. Okay, there's that. Now, something else here. Oh, the fruitcake toss. I said we've got to get 15 people who are willing to toss the fruitcake by Friday. And if we do get 15 people, then we'll probably toss the fruitcake the following week, because we'll have 2 weeks left. We'll have the entire following week, and then we'll have the week after, which Christmas Eve is not until Friday the following week. So we'll have 10 days to toss this fruitcake if we can get 15 people entered by Friday. By the time my show is over on Friday. We've got four so far. Sarah, Adam, Randy Stahl, and Ralph Thacker. Now, we've got to get 15, so we've still got to get 11 more. Now, basically, all it will be, we'll do it one night. It will be probably after 6 o'clock, and we'll do it just here at the station. And it's just underhand tossing a fruitcake. No money involved, nothing like that. But the winner will get a prize from WWGH Radio. That's simply how it will be. Just a fun event to do, but we've got to get 15 people in, and right now we've only got 4. Now, you can nominate somebody to be in, but they've got to show up. A few years ago when we did this, people nominated people, and then they did not show up. Well, if you don't show up, then it's not much of a fruitcake toss. So what we need is people who are actually going to show up and toss the fruitcake. Like I say, the whole thing takes about 15 to 20 minutes. You just toss it, then we measure how far it went, and then the next person tosses it. And we just go right down the line, and then we see who tossed it the furthest. That's all there is to it. So does anybody want to enter the fruitcake toss or nominate somebody to enter the fruitcake toss? We still need 11 more names to make this happen in the next 3 days. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Hey, nominate some people. Nominate the mayor. Nominate and then let him know he's in it. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. Well, I was born in November 8th of 41, but not knowing nothing about it that age naturally, but I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii and stay on the base of Hickam Air Force where Pearl Harbor was located, and I spent a week there, and it was really interesting to be able to do that, and went over around through all of the Pearl Harbor area, swam on the beach where the officers swim and everything, and it was very enjoyable. But one main thing I really respected was our youngest son and I, we took a walk over around the officers area, and there was a couple officers come by, and they said, "Well, you young men really look like you're interested in this area." And I said, "Well, I told him about being born in this and that." And I said, "I was looking at the building here, and I see the damage and stuff done to the building during the war." I said, "Why was is it left this way?" And he said, "That's a really a good question, and I love to answer that." He said, "We want our new recruit officers and stuff that come here to Pearl Harbor to remember the bombing of and the tragedy that happened here." And he said, "We really talk to our new officers. We don't want it ever happen again." So there was the 50 caliber machine guns, you know, and all that damage that was done. There were scars on Pearl Harbor that you could see. And the officer told us and showed us right in front of our eyes. It was a very interesting thing where the planes circle around the lava mountain parts there and come in and circle that way and come in and bomb Pearl Harbor. And we went and seen the Arizona, and it was a really an interesting trip. Of course, this day and age, you wouldn't be able to do what we done then, but it was a good experience.
That's very, very interesting. You know, what I was thinking about yesterday in regard to Pearl Harbor, most of us lived through September 11th, and it's fresh in our mind, and I think even the kids understand the word Pearl Harbor, but I don't think people understand how traumatic that was for the country at the time.
That's right. And you know, when my age then, naturally you aren't going to absorb that and everything, but you know, after you see all the pictures, just like you saw yesterday on the news and stuff, once you've seen that tragedy of those vessels and the men in those ships and stuff ready to go on the word and the command right now, that was their home, and they was like that, and that happening, and then years later have the opportunity to stand on the earth right there where it happened. That was a thrill to me and my livelihood, and I just wanted to share it with the listeners and stuff that it was really, really something. It just stuck with me, and even though I wasn't in the service or anything, I believe in that American flag, and I love to fly that baby anytime I want to. Didn't see too many yesterday out flying, but I flew my flag, and I'm very proud of it.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for calling. Yeah, well, that, you know, and it's remembrances like that, I think, that are important, to be honest with you, because it is a big day, and it's hard because you don't want to call it an anniversary, and I heard some news people doing that yesterday, and I even did it yesterday, but it's more of a commemoration. It was an awful, awful day, and as President Franklin Roosevelt said, this is a day that will live in infamy, and I wonder if Franklin Roosevelt would have thought 80 years later that most people would have pretty much forgotten what happened that day. I think they are aware that something happened and that Pearl Harbor means something, but the specifics of it, I'm not really sure. But anybody out there who listened or who lived during that time wants to tell the story, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss it, or if you want to enter anybody into the fruitcake toss. And again, you can enter people in town. You know, we got the mayor, we got city council members, we have county commissioners, we have a county prosecutor. You know, if you work in their office, or you just know them, hey, enter them in the fruitcake toss. I'm sure they can spare 20 minutes one night to get out there and toss the fruitcake. Wouldn't it be interesting? And you know what's great about the fruitcake toss? And I'm not downing any other events in town, but anybody can toss a fruitcake. You can be in a wheelchair and toss a fruitcake. You could be 10 years old and toss a fruitcake. You could be 100 years old and toss a fruitcake. Some events, because of age and disability and time, you're not able to toss a fruitcake or do the event. But anybody can toss a fruitcake. So does anybody want to nominate anybody or nominate themselves? As long as the person shows up, you've got to let the person know and get a confirmation that they're willing to do it. That's the important part. 740-383-9944, 56 minutes past the hour here, and we've got to have 15 names, and right now we've only got 4. So that is a problem with the old fruitcake toss at this point. But we still have 2 more days after today. I guess you could nominate somebody at this station to toss the fruitcake, as long as you call in and tell them you've nominated them. Uh-oh, somebody listening, honking, driving by. 740-383-9944. And most likely, if we do get to 15 people, the fruitcake toss will take place here at the station the following week. So sometime next week, one evening after 6 o'clock. And as I say, the whole event will take about 20 minutes, and the winner will get some kind of a prize. All right, enough on that. 740-383-9944. Now, Ted Jolliffe came in yesterday and gave me a newspaper from 1941. This would have been pre-Pearl Harbor. But what it's got, which I love this, and we've had a lot of fun with this over the years, it's got an ad for Kroger in here from 1941. Now, what I'm going to do, let's see how smart you are this morning. I am going to ask you the prices on some food here. Now, if you come fairly close, I will give you I'll give it to you if you come fairly close in the price. But I mean, you've got to come pretty close, because I think everybody's going to be in the area somewhat, but you've got to come fairly close to the price here. Okay, in 1941, let's see, what's a good thing to go on here? Okay. Oh, this was a cake. It was Kroger's Cake of the Month. Orange marmalade. 2 golden layers filled with orange marmalade, topped with orange frosting and coconut. How much would that orange marmalade cake have been in 1941 at Kroger? How much would that orange marmalade cake have been in 1941 at Kroger, July of 1941? Now remember, as it reads in this 1941 Marion Star, it was Kroger's Cake of the Month, orange marmalade. 2 golden layers filled with orange marmalade, topped with orange frosting and coconut. How much would that cake have been in July of 1941? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Here's another one for you. Stock up. Make big savings here. Lincoln brand peaches. Now, for a dozen cans of peaches, how much would it have been? A dozen cans of peaches. Go ahead, caller.
I'll guess 79 cents.
79 cents. Not close.
Do you know how big the cake is?
Well, I guess it's a regular size cake, I would imagine.
It's about a foot in diameter, a typical cake size. Okay, yeah.
Typical
I'll
cake.
79 cents, but that may be out in left field.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, now we're talking about a regular-sized orange marmalade cake, which was the cake of the month at Kroger in July of 1941 here in town. Doesn't that orange marmalade cake sound good? That sounds good now. As a matter of fact, I wish I had a little bit of orange marmalade cake here this morning to go along with my diet soda. How much was an orange marmalade cake at Kroger in 1941? Does anybody know? They were selling cans of peaches by the dozen back in 1941. How much was a dozen cans of peaches? How much did a dozen cans of peaches at Kroger cost? 740-383-9944. That would be 12 cans. 12 cans of peaches. Does anybody know how much 12 cans of peaches at Kroger in 1941 would have cost? Or an orange marmalade cake, which was the cake of the month in July of 1941. You know, you could walk into either one of the Kroger today in Marion and say, hey, did you know that in July of 1941, your cake of the month was an orange marmalade cake? All right, we're going to get any guesses on this? We've got Columbus Zoo tickets on the line. 740-383-9944. How much did an orange marmalade cake cost at Kroger in 1941? And how much did a dozen peaches, dozen cans of peaches, I guess I should say, a dozen cans of peaches cost at Kroger in 1941? 740-383-9944. Any guesses? Or do you want to enter anybody in the fruitcake toss? We're going to get any guesses here before we go to break? 740-383-9944. Well, I guess not. You know what? We're just going to, stay at that point right now. And we'll come back after this break with much more Don't You Dare Go Away.
Bible-believing church that is very, very much focused on outreach and reaching outside.